If you have your Bibles, please turn in them to Psalm 81. The book of Psalms, Psalm 81, we'll begin reading at verse 8. Psalm 81, 8 through 16. Hear, O my people, and I will testify unto thee, O Israel, if thou wilt hearken unto me. There shall no strange god be in thee, neither shalt thou worship any strange god. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I'll fill it. Let me stop for just a moment. God, many times in the Bible, would remind his people of the great miracles that he performed bringing them out of Egypt. And here he does again, and he says, now I've taken you, I've brought you out of Egypt. Remember all those miracles. Now open your mouth wide, and I'll fill it. And the same idea can be taught to us. He wants to do great things for us. He reminds, and he's done so many great things for our church and for us personally. And he says, remember what I've done for you. Now open your mouth wide, and I'll fill it. But, what does he say? But my people would not hearken unto my voice, and Israel would none of me. They would not listen. And it must break his heart, not only that Israel wouldn't listen, but that we won't listen. He says, I want to do so many wonderful things. Joe talked about a testimony of raising your children. He wants you to train up a child in the way he or she should go. He wants that. You think you want it? He wants it more than you do. Because the better you raise your children, the more they're going to serve and be able to do work for him. But we won't do it so many times. We won't do it. People will look at a church like us because we preach on it so often and we stress it so much. And they'll like to scoff and say, like this preacher that says you can't raise your kids, you have no promise of God. And they want to say, see, look at this one here in that church, and look at that one there in that church. They didn't make it. Is that God's fault? No. It's the parents' fault, because they didn't do what God had have them to do. God says, open your mouth wide. I want you to have the type of kids that will be a thrill to you the rest of your life. I want to give you the type of children that will raise their children so that you'll be thrilled with your grandchildren. I want you to be thrilled with all that they do for me for the rest of your life. But my people would not hearken unto my voice, and Israel would none of me. So I gave them up unto their own heart's lust. What did he do? I know what that's like after being a pastor for over 40 years. You work, you pray, you work, you do everything you can, and finally you say, they're not listening, let them go. That's what God says. That's it. You say, you do that, preacher? You just say, let them go? There's nothing else you can do. It's like hitting a brick wall. I know what God's feeling to some extent here. It's like hitting a brick wall. Over and over again, talking to people, trying to encourage them, trying to keep them going. But my people would not hearken unto my voice, and Israel would none of me. So I gave them up unto their own heart's lust, and they walked in their own counsels. They did it their way. Okay? And that's what's wrong with Christianity today. Everybody's doing it their way. Oh, that my people had hearkened unto me, God says. Oh, if they would have listened. Oh, if they would have listened. But no, I know better. I'm going to sit here. I'm going to live my life. I've watched. No, don't you know that's the devil? Don't you know the old devil just has you by the nose and just going to make a fool out of you and your marriage, your children, and everything else? Oh, that my people had hearkened unto me and Israel would have walked in my ways. Oh, if the people at Fairhaven would have listened to me and walked in my ways, I should have subdued their enemies and turned my hand against their adversaries. The haters of the Lord should have been have submitted themselves unto him, but their time should have endured forever. He should have fed them also with the finest of wheat, and with honey out of the rock should I have satisfied thee. Will you pray with me that God will bless the message? Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your word. It's exciting to read it, and I feel so unworthy to be able to try and expound upon it, Lord. But, Lord, I pray that you'll guide and direct as I endeavor to do that. I pray that you'll speak to hearts, Holy Spirit, that you'd get a hold of the hearts, especially of the younger men and women in this church, that they would determine to do what's right and not go with the flow and see the sad results that most Christians do today. In your name we pray. Amen. A former Shah of Persia bade an ambassador who was in great favor to him to come and open his mouth. And when he did, the monarch filled his mouth with pearls and gems of great value. Now, this is an Eastern custom that's alluded to in our text. All we must do is open our mouth with desire, and God will fill it with blessings and mercies infinitely more precious than the rarest of rubies and gems. Now, ask yourself, if any king or emperor would ask you to open your mouth and he was going to fill it with diamonds, I could just see myself just stretch that thing so wide, I would just open it up to its largest capacity. Now, there's another Oriental custom which could be familiar to the Hebrew reader. The host, when at supper, would take the finest, the best of the lamb, if that's what they were eating, take the choicest of the best of the meat, and it doesn't sound very sanitary, but he'd pick it up with his fingers and ask that special guest to open his mouth, and he'd actually place it in his mouth. Now, if you want to see this illustrated someplace else, go out about this time of the year and look in the trees. And the just recently hatched birds are being fed. As a boy, I remember taking a ladder, putting it up against the gutter of our garage because I saw there was a robin with with a nest full of birds up there, and I wanted to get a closer look. In fact, I got my whole class from Lewis Pasteur Elementary School. They came on a field trip to see that nest. but anyway, I climbed up on that thing, and man, it just looked like all there was mouth, beaks, you know, maybe just a little tiny bit of wing. But if you took a worm like I did, I didn't touch them because if you do, that's pretty leaves them in sad shape. But you take a worm and you put that up there, and you'll see that mouth open up so wide that it's unbelievable. Now the point that I want to make is you don't have to ask those birds if they're hungry. You don't have to ask them to open their mouth. Man, they are hungry, and they are ready to receive. And if you want to see the text realized before your eyes, picture a nest full of these birds with their mouths open, but instead of the mother bird working to try and get some food for one of them, picture an infinite God filling all their mouths, asking them to open them again. He's able to fill no matter how many and what the needs are. And it's that God that says to us today, open your individual, open your mouth wide that I might fill it. And my first point, only 2 points. My first point is, open your mouth wide. This relates to a prayer of desire. What makes a bird open its mouth? You look tired today. I just started to say that, and John just gave me a big yawn. shake your head and do jumping jacks or something for a while. But what? Think with me. What makes a bird open its mouth? A need, okay? A hunger. And if you have no sense of want, you're not going to really pray. It's as simple as that. And I'm afraid that's what most people are. Again, Joe got that idea, which is pretty easy for me to get into the rut of talking about the family. But people just think, well, you know, I've got my children in the Christian school. I'm paying good money for that. And they're in a good church, and they have good Sunday school teachers and a good youth pastor and all of this. They're going to turn out right. No. Okay? No. And again, I go back again to this idea of when I talk to people about their children, and they say, yes, you know, I see I need to take care of this. But a year later, the kids are doing the same thing. And a year later, they're doing the same thing. Why? Because the parents are not serious about wanting to have Bible children grow up to be Bible adults and do a great work for God. And so the point I'm getting at is you've got to be serious. And I'll tell you what, if you're serious about praying for your children, then you see, as you're praying, it's not, oh God, please help little Susie grow up to be a good kid. And you make, I watch some of you make the stupidest decisions. You let them hang with people that are going to influence them the wrong way. And I want to stop and talk about family again. Just because they're family doesn't mean they need to be with your children. Okay? You've got to make a decision. They're only going to be with people that are going to be a good influence on them. You allow them to be with the wrong people, and they're going to grow up to be just like them. And so as you're praying with a sense of need, oh God, I can't rear these children. I can't do it. Oh God, help me. God will tap you on the shoulder and say, you better not let them be with those people. And it can be anything else. You better stop telling them to stop running for the 58,000th time. They better stop running in public places. It's just as simple as that. You understand, when you're praying, don't you know, I'm no theologian, but I believe the number one reason that God wants us to pray practically is that God can say, you need to do this. At least that's the way he deals with me. I'm praying and saying, oh God, we want to see more souls saved. And God says, get out there more. Can you say amen? Is that the way he deals with you? Get out there more. Do something. Open your mouth wide. Now, again, I say, if you don't have a sense of want, you can't really pray. Would you go to the door of charity and not need anything? I hope you wouldn't pull a fire alarm and there wasn't a fire. You understand? There's a need, and you've got to understand your need. You don't know what a real prayer is if you don't feel the need. When you think you've got all your needs, when you think, oh, my kids are good kids, that's when you're in trouble. I praise God for my good kids. I don't know, but I got an idea. I've only got one sitting here now. But I think if you ask Dr. Vogelin if I ever thought he was a good kid, he'd say no. Now, did I love him? Yes. But I never, ever thought of my kids, man, they're good kids. I always thought, wow, we got to work on them. And the point that I'm getting at is I think we've got too many. I've got good kids. We compare our kids to others instead of the Bible. There's something about when you're serious, whether it's about soul winning, I don't care what it is, we're following Joe's testimony on kids. If you're serious about it, I don't know about you, but I don't think you think, I got it made. We got this thing. When you think you've got this thing, the devil's going to just tear you to shreds. There's got to be a need, or you're not going to pray. And you talk about that. I love my seven grandchildren, and I praise God for the way they're being raised. But guess what I pray about more than any other thing in the world? My children and my grandchildren. Now, I'm saying God knows there is a need in my heart. I'm begging God that Dr. Vogelin will be used of God and that the devil doesn't get into his marriage or the devil doesn't get into his ministry or whatever it might be. There's a need. There's a hunger. And I don't see that in so many people's lives. I see people think, well, praise God, man. Man, my kids are good. They're good. You better understand there's a devil out there. At times, you might rejoice that you're full of blessings. But on the other hand, there's so much in the church or the world or loved ones or missionaries. Man, this morning I was praying for Courtney as he was going to preach this morning. And then I was praying for Clint as he was going to be preaching, is preaching right now down in Mexico City. And I was preaching for Don Whitaker as he was going to be preaching in Belize. And I prayed for Eli and Mueller's and Adam. You say, what are you getting at? Man, I'm not saying I only pray for my kids or my ministry. Man, I pray for our people, and I hope you feel a responsibility. I hope you don't sit there and say, isn't it nice? Look what God did for Courtney, and look what God did for Pastor Whitaker, and look what God's doing. Don't you feel a responsibility to beg God? Do you? You wake up Sunday morning and understand, I'm going to preach this morning, but I'm not the only one that's going to preach. Don Whitaker's going to preach at the same time. Courtney's going to preach at the same time. Clint Reardon's going to be preaching at the same time. Oh, God! Oh, God! Bless their ministry. You pray for Mrs. Melanak? I know it's not brought up in front of you all the time, but do you understand? She has a horrible, horrible illness. Horrible, a debilitating illness. Do you pray? Do you pray? His ministry's at stake. Do you pray? Understand what I'm trying to say? They're good people. They're getting torn to shreds. Do you pray? Did you pray? Did you? When a man feels he must have blessings or die, when he knows that without the Holy Spirit, his life is a farce. Without the Holy Spirit, you Sunday school teachers, your work of faith, your labor, is good for nothing. It's not, oh God, please bless our bus today. But oh God, what a responsibility today. Or that our church must have a divine anointing of God, or we're going to fall by the wayside. We need power from on high. You lose that, you're going to be the one that comes and slips in the back of the church there and then slips back out again. Don't do it. Feel the responsibility. Some people sit back and, well, you know, I'm not a deacon or I'm not this or I'm not that. Did you pray? This country needs a visitation from God. As I was working on this message, I was thinking, you know, I don't feel there's any hope for this country. Humanly speaking, no hope. But God's still on the throne. Who knows what God, maybe God would want our country to get to the place that's such a mess that everybody knows like I do that it's through. And then he would send revival. Who knows? When these weigh upon your heart, you pray. Man does not open his mouth wide until he's conscious of a great want. And I beg of you to shake off this idea of being satisfied. Shake off this idea that my kids are good kids. Shake off this idea that I'm a good Christian. That's the kind that the devil rips apart. I've said it, and I think some of you don't understand it. If you put a lie detector on me and ask if I was a good Christian, I would say no. No, I'm not at all what I should be. Shake off that idea of thinking you've arrived. We are nothing. We are nothing. We're weakness itself. We're emptiness itself. We're a mass of sin and misery. That's what we are, apart from God, our Father, and apart from Christ, our Redeemer, and the Holy Spirit, our indweller. Let me say again, God fills the mouth of dire necessity. We read, he hath filled the hungry with good things. But get this, the rich he has sent away empty. That's what I think many of our problems are. Whether it's our children, whether it's soul winning, whether it's finances. Make your desire intense. David said, I opened my mouth and panted. Remember that dog? I think we've probably all seen this, that just had run until you thought he was going to die, and then he was panting like he seemed like he was going to die. Nothing puts more energy into prayer than anguish, desire, a sense of want, a sense of necessity. The old Puritan said, he that prays to God without fervor asks to be denied. Did you hear that? Oh God, be with this one, be with this one. Oh God, amen. Asks to be denied. There's a way that makes it very easy to decline. But persons in dire distress understand how to set forth their case in such a way that only a hard-hearted person could say no. The request is answered not only because of the goodness of the petition, but the style of it. pray with anguish. I'm not saying put a show on. But don't you want more? I remember again when Dr. Vogelin was a little kid. We've all done this. You put a jelly bean or something in your hand, and he wants it. And you let him open one finger, and then two fingers, and then you close them. And then he opens another finger. You've done it, haven't you? And then you close it. Now, what gets you to open the hand when the big tear comes? He needs candy. And that's what God's looking for. Intense desire. I've got to have it. Man, what I'm saying is be serious about your praying, because lukewarm prayers get no place. Ask for large things. God is God, you see. Don't pray that your kids won't embarrass you. Pray they'll be used mightily for God. Don't pray. Now, don't get me wrong. You want to have a soul saved, and every soul is important. But don't pray, oh, God, that our church can have 10 souls saved this year. Oh, pray that God brings revival. And many, many, many souls are saved. God likes to do big things. And you know, that's why I like to talk about the big things he did for us. I think I was a pretty stupid young preacher, and I did a lot of wrong things, but I believed God. And I'll tell you what, when we got to that place where we were dwindled down in number to a couple hundred, and this building, the shell, the original one, the shell was up, and the bank pulled our loan, and we didn't have our loan. And we were in debt, and there's no time to go into it. You regulars know everything about it. That was something God was looking. He was looking for something like that. And we begged him and begged him and demanded, oh, God, we did what you would have us to do. We did what was right. And when we're in this fix where we need so much money for the auditorium and the nobody will come, and what did we do? We just knocked on doors. Remember, we knocked on 50,000, every house within any range around here equivalent to maybe 200,000 people, and no results at all. And then what did God do? He gave us the cash for the auditorium. What did he do? He built us by 900 people in 1 year. God likes to do that. Amen? God likes to do that. But what we do is we kind of fiddle around, and we're afraid. We don't have faith. And so we fool around and we test the waters and all this type of a thing instead of saying, God, what do you want me to do? I'll do it. No matter what happens, we'll do it. No matter what we look like, we'll do it. And then we're going to be able to demand, God, you've got to bless. Can you apply that to your life? Can you apply that to your children? Can you just say, I'm going to be what I ought to be? A lot of people's marriages aren't what they ought to be because they're afraid to rock the boat. They're afraid their wife might leave them. Why don't you trust God? Why don't you rock the boat? Trust God. Oh, he wants to do one. You know, our problem is we put ourselves in a little cell when God wants us in a castle. When we're laying down the lines, the pipes, as it were, for God to answer the prayer, they're little tiny pipes when God wants giant pipes. He wants to do great things. We're asking prayer to a great God. And he could give us Chesterton as much as a dime. He could give it to us. If you were to ask the widow who gave her two mites, you wouldn't ask for anything, would you? At least nothing much. But if you were going to approach a king, you'd ask for something, wouldn't you? We've already received a gift so great that it can't be compared. It's beyond all calculation. Beside this, remember his goodness. He delights to give. Go back to our text and look through the thousands of times in the Bible where he shows. He loves to give. And another interesting thing is it doesn't diminish his possessions. He can give and give and have plenty more to give. His nature is to shine, to delight us. He's just like the sun. He wants to shine on us. Remember what he's already done for us. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee up out of Egypt, he says. Open thy mouth wide, and I'll fill it. It's inconsistent to have your sins forgiven, to have a new heart, to have a right spirit. It's inconsistent to believe that God would take us from the road to hell and put us on that narrow road to heaven and not want to give us everything. You could never ask for any greater gift or miracle than salvation. And I like a great gospel. You know, the person that diminishes the promises of God, for instance, train up a child in the way he should go, the one that lightens the punishment of hell, also diminishes the glory of heaven. But you and I, we see everything vast, big. Hell is hot. Heaven's wonderful. And we ought to open our mouths wide, keep our prayers in proportion to what we preach and believe. Let me remind you, he that spared not his own son, but freely delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? All things. Your prayers cannot be too big for God. And so what I'm saying is we ought to ask for great things for ourselves, for our church. Now, I'm not talking about temporal things. We can leave those things to God. We're told in the Bible to pray, give us this day our daily bread. Take care of it. I'm not talking about covetousness. I'm not talking about a car or a house. But having what he gives us, we should be content. But I'm talking about spiritual things, a great measure of the Holy Spirit. Spiritual things, great things for our church, many souls saved, many lives changed. Many churches are satisfied, overjoyed with a half a dozen saved. And I'm not saying we shouldn't be joyful over everybody that gets saved, but we should want much more. Read your Bible. God wants so much more. Pray for a capacity to handle great things. I really believe that many times God doesn't give us what we pray for because we couldn't handle it. Again, you've heard this, talent. So many of these country singers, rock and roll singers, Elvis learned to sing in a Baptist church. Look what happened to Elvis, and we could probably name so many others. Money, God gives. People can't handle big money. They can't do it. The guy that started and runs, Rocky Mountain, is it chocolate? They're my favorite. All over, hundreds, probably thousands of them, all over America. He used to be a member of Pastor Stowe's church. Just a good, fundamental, independent Baptist. He got rich and famous, doesn't even go to church anymore. I mean, he was just like you. And he got rich and famous and doesn't go to church anymore. Knowledge puffs up. Look at the people you and I know that got their doctor's degree. It's hard. I prayed like crazy and still do for Jeff. Knowledge puffs up. Feelings drowned our faith. Pray, God, enlarge my heart. Surest way for enlargement is to make sure you're right with God and you don't have any sin in your life. Point two, and it's short, is the promise, open your mouth wide and I will fill it. After the first half, you wouldn't expect him to say, open your mouth wide and I'm not going to give you anything. No, he didn't say, seek my face in vain. But from the context, we say the promise is only those that open their mouth wide. Get it? Many never get anything from God because they don't ask for much. They ask for a little blessing, a little mercy. But I'll tell you what, there's no promise in the Bible for the person that opens his mouth halfway. Did you get that? Say, I'd like to have a decent marriage. I don't like that fighting all the time. No, no, you better say, I want a Bible marriage totally according to the Bible. You get the difference? Or I sure would like my kids to stop embarrassing me. No, that's not going to be answered. It's got to be, oh, God, I want to give my children to you. I put them on the altar for you to use any way that you want to use them. God doesn't say to be overly modest, but to be honest and ask for what you want. Open your mouth wide. We're dealing with God when we do that, as he loves to be dealt with. He loves to be approached with great prayers. And I'm not going to go into it, but as I look back through the history of this church, it's when we were in dire straits and begging God and needed a miracle when he said, yes, here it is. Here it is. It's the way he likes to be dealt with. Are you listening to me? You that have problems, you that are worried. If you failed in your request, ask if you failed because you're trifling with him. You're asking for odds and ends and asking for something that he could have pleasure giving you. He is God. Open your mouth wide. He doesn't want to play games. See if you can ask for more than he can give. You can't. Prove me, the Bible says, hear what saith the Lord, and see if I'll not open you the windows of heaven. If Israel would have been in an experimental mind to try God, he says, I'd open the windows of heaven. He said, I've delivered you from Egypt. He said, I've given you manna, just manna from heaven. I've seen, given you water from a rock. You've walked across the Red Sea on dry land. Isn't it unbelievable that you can say that these people saw these miracles and they turned from God? But I've dealt with people long enough that I sure believe it. He says, open your mouths wide. Wide. And he said, I'll protect you. I'll feed you with fine wheat and honey. He's not a man that lies. He's not a person with an empty vault. God said it. Believe him. But you might say, how will the Lord fill my mouth? With prayers. We started with this. With prayers. If you see a real need, if you see a need in your family, in your church, whatever it is, you'll pray. You ever feel as though you can't pray? I have. Don't yield to that. Hold your mouth open to God, and the Holy Spirit will put a prayer in it. Now, I don't even know how to explain this, but I've come away from praying or attempting to pray where I felt I really couldn't pray. And maybe the next time I was very fluent. Yet the more real prayer was when I couldn't pray And I was so burdened that I didn't know how to put it into words. Open your mouth wide and God will fill it with petitions of an acceptable kind. The Holy Spirit gives you, the Bible says, groanings that cannot be uttered. No prayer exceeds the prayer when the man or woman feels he can't pray. He's so burdened, he can't put it in words. Yet there's a longing in his heart, an agonizing to talk to God. He does not pray, yet the Holy Spirit strives mightily for him. Then open your mouth wide, and he'll fill it with blessings. He'll fill it with a wonderful family. He'll fill it with financial your needs being met. He'll fill it with souls being saved, whatever it might be. Everything you need to be happy and more. He'll fill your mouth with praises and songs and shouts of gratitude that cannot be expressed with words. You can't do it. At times you're so full of God's praises that you want all of mankind to help magnify. Just ask. Just open. And God will fill it with prayers and joy and blessing and praises. In closing, I just want to take a minute and speak to the unsaved. You're here and you don't know the Lord as your Savior. What do you want? If I were to come to you personally and ask, do you know for sure if you died right now you'd go to heaven? Could you say yes, or would you have to say no? Nobody knows. I don't know. Would you like some comfort? Open your mouth. Would you like some peace? Open your mouth. I've asked, I think over the decades, hundreds of people. When you lay your head on your pillow at night, I'm saying unsaved people, do you have peace? Do you have joy? They all have to be honest enough to say no. Would you like to have peace? Would you like to have joy? The Bible says, ask and you'll receive. Seek and you'll find. Knock and it'll be open unto you. Just ask. Just ask. Well, you say, I'm a sinner. Open your mouth wide. Call upon the name of the Lord and thou shalt be saved. Open your mouth wide. Do you think maybe we went to the poorest neighborhood in Chicago, abused kids, not taken care of? And he put a great feast on for kids. That would be cheeseburgers and hot dogs and pizza, I guess. But you put this big feast on, and then you said, come on, we're going to have this good dinner. Do you think they'd say, I'm not fit? Man, they'd come and eat. And God's saying, are you hungry? Would you like peace in your life? Would you like joy? Would you like comfort? Come and dine. I've got it all spread out here. Come and dine. Yes, we're all sinners. And yes, we all deserve hell. But the Bible so clearly says all we have to do is repent of that sin, turn to Christ, call upon the name of the Lord, and thou shalt be saved. That's the greatest news you'll ever hear. And I know I've just touched on it and taken a couple seconds on it. But my friend, we would love to show you how to be saved. If you're here and you don't know that you can be saved, come and let us show you out of God's word. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father.